Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So if you woke up on the morning of November 18th, 2025, expecting the internet to, you know, just work.
Yeah, you were in for a pretty nasty surprise.
A very nasty surprise. Today, we are analyzing that massive global service disruption. The one that proved, yet again, just how fragile our digital world really is. The widespread Cloudflare outage.
It was a fascinating event, and frankly, a little terrifying. Our mission today isn't just to report that services went down. We want to cut straight to the core issue.
Right.
We're going to analyze this incident, really understand why relying on just a few providers creates this catastrophic concentration risk.
And give you the playbook for resilience.
Exactly.
And the sheer breadth of it all was just immediate. We're talking about disruptions that started hitting hard right around 6 a.m. Eastern time.
It wasn't a slow choke.
No, it was like an instant guillotine for major services worldwide. The headlines were certainly traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
We saw things like major Cloudflare outage disrupts X, ChatGPT, and popular gaming platforms worldwide.
But for most people, it just felt like the internet was broken.
And it really did. I woke up around 7 a.m., tried to order my usual coffee on an app that uses Uber Eats.
And nothing.
Immediately hit with payment processing errors. That's how real this became. You know, it hit the most mundane parts of our morning routine.
And that speed is the critical factor here. If you look at the timeline, Cloudflare started investigating around 6.48 a.m. Eastern.
Okay.
But here's the crucial detail that I think gets overlooked.
What's that?
This whole disruption coincided with scheduled maintenance at their Santiago, Chile data center, SCL.
So a regional center.
A regional center. The fact that a maintenance window there led to a global cascading failure.
That's the real story.
It is. It points to some kind of catastrophic internal configuration error that just poisoned the entire global network.
So not a hardware failure in Chile, but a technical error that got broadcast to the world.
Precisely.
So let's look at the victims. You had social and AI. X, what used to be Twitter, was basically unusable.
Post wouldn't load.
And the big one, OpenAI's ChatGPT became completely inaccessible.
Yeah, users globally just got that confusing security challenge error.
We'll get to that error in a bit.
Exactly. And the impact was just so pervasive. I mean, productivity tools like Canva, users couldn't access their work.
And commerce. You felt that directly.
I did. And platforms like PayPal had intermittent payment processing. Uber Eats, like you said, people struggled to complete orders.
So the apps might have loaded the pretty graphics, but the core function.
The ability to actually transact, to authenticate, it was severely impacted.
And if you were trying to, you know, blow off some steam before work.
The gaming community got hit hard.
So hard. League of Legends, Valorant. Widespread connection and authentication issues.
The multiplayer servers just crashed. The underlying infrastructure Cloudflare provides for matchmaking and security just vanished.
Instant global chaos from your work platform to your breakfast delivery to your game lobby.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about what users were actually seeing. Because that error message, it was so confusing. It basically put the blame on the user. That dreaded line, please unblock challenges.cloudflare.com to proceed.
Right.
Why would it tell me I did something wrong?
That message is, it's the signature of a system that has gone into a kind of self-preservation mode.
But it failed at it.
But it failed to execute it properly, yes. It suggests you need to adjust your browser or your firewall, which is just incorrect.
Okay, so it appears because Cloudflare's own security systems, their DDoS protection, their bot management.
All of that was malfunctioning.
So the back-end websites like ChatGPT's servers were technically still running.
For the most part, yes. But the security guard, the bouncer at the digital door, couldn't tell who was a legitimate customer and who wasn't.
So it was just turning everyone away.
It was essentially telling legitimate customers they were suspicious bots. The system wasn't down. It was malfunctioning in its core job.
Which is arguably worse.
It is worse because it actively blocks good traffic globally.
Okay, wait, let's go back to that critical insight for a second. Maintenance in one city, Santiago, Chile, takes down my ChatGPT in New York.
And gaming in Europe.
How does that happen? How does a regional maintenance logically lead to a global cascade?
That's the core vulnerability, you know. Cloudflare runs this highly interconnected global network.
Right.
Normally, during maintenance, they just route traffic around that local point. It's seamless.
But not this time.
This time, it seems the maintenance triggered a bad configuration change, maybe a routing bug, in that SCL data center.
And that error got pushed out everywhere.
It was pushed out across the entire global network architecture. One localized mistake essentially poisoned the routing or security for millions of endpoints.
That is the very definition of concentration risk. Why does one company have that much power?
Because they offer these fundamental services that almost every large online entity outsources to them. They're like the internet's essential utility layer.
So we're talking about their CDN, the content delivery network for fast loading?
Right. And their DDoS protection, which is indispensable.
And maybe most importantly, their DNS services.
The phone book of the internet, yeah.
Yeah.
Translating names into IP addresses.
So when that foundational layer has a configuration flaw,
everything sitting on top of it, no matter where it is in the world, becomes inaccessible.
And this really moves beyond just a technical curiosity.
Oh, absolutely.
When you connect this to the bigger picture for businesses, this single point of failure, it's a massive economic hazard.
We're talking millions of lost dollars per hour.
Exactly. The operational and financial risks are just immediate and severe.
Take e-commerce. Lost revenue from transactions halting. That's a direct financial cost.
Sure.
But then think about productivity loss inside any big company. Your internal business apps, your CRM, your collaboration tools.
If they rely on these platforms.
Your employees are suddenly just sitting idle. That downtime is incredibly expensive.
And we can't ignore the soft costs, which I think often have the longest tail.
Definitely. Customer frustration. That severely damages brand reputation globally.
And that trust, once it's broken, is so hard to earn back.
Especially if you can't communicate properly during the crisis itself.
And what about the security side of things?
That's a huge point. When these security layers are malfunctioning, your authentication systems might fail.
Creating a window of vulnerability.
It can, yeah. An outage like this can temporarily expose underlying issues in a business's own backup security protocols.
So this vulnerability landscape hits everyone, but some are more exposed than others.
E-commerce, SaaS companies, online gaming, digital media, anyone whose revenue is purely reliant on constant uptime.
They're particularly exposed.
They are. This outage is just a profound reminder that cloud dependency has to be managed actively.
The lesson here seems pretty clear. Relying on just one provider, no matter how good their track record is.
It's not a strategy.
It's a gamble. So given that, you know, the sheer scale of those lost dollars and reputation damage, businesses need answers.
They need them immediately.
When concentration risk hits this hard, what proactive, actionable measures can companies actually take? This is where it gets really interesting.
The solution really is all about redundancy and proactive disaster planning.
Yeah.
And the number one best practice that comes up is a diversification strategy.
Meaning you can't rely on a single provider.
You can't. It means implementing multi-CDN strategies, using multiple DNS providers, and just having fallback options ready to go.
Okay, but diversification, I mean, that sounds great on paper.
It does.
But isn't implementing a true multi-CDN strategy, like massively complex, and expensive? Is this really feasible for anyone but the huge enterprises?
That's a really important challenge to raise. It is complex and it is costly.
Right.
But what the sources suggest is that it's rapidly moving from an ideal for the biggest companies to a necessity for any business whose revenue is purely digital.
So the calculation has changed.
It has. You might not use three massive CDNs, but maybe you have a secondary lower cost provider that's configured and ready for failover.
You weigh the cost of planning against the cost of 2 hours of zero revenue.
Exactly. The math becomes very clear very quickly.
So beyond vendors, what about data safety when the network itself is just unreliable?
You have to maintain local backups.
Mm.
Keeping local copies of critical data and apps gives you an immediate safety net.
And you need to know when to use it.
Which is where monitoring and alerting comes in. And it has to be sophisticated. You need to monitor not just your own website, but the status of your providers.
So you can activate contingency plans almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But what if your internal communication tools like Slack or Teams are also down? How do you coordinate a response?
That's a key lesson from this event. You need communication protocols that do not depend on those potentially affected platforms.
So out-of-band communication.
Exactly. Secure mobile chats, dedicated backup email, even, you know, old-school phone trees. Anything to make sure teams can coordinate the failover.
And the speed of that response is critical.
It has to be minutes, not hours. Pre-established protocols that activate the moment a major outage is detected.
And finally, when you're talking to your customers who are angry and frustrated.
Transparency is the only currency you have left.
Yeah.
Acknowledge the issue quickly. Be clear that it's a third-party provider. Give realistic resolution times. Update regularly.
Customers are more forgiving if they get honest, timely communication.
It helps maintain that brand trust, even when the problem is technically out of your hands. Hashtag outro. Look, Cloudflare is still a highly reliable provider. This November incident was rare.
Yeah.
But what we learned is that it wasn't just a simple server problem. It was a routing configuration error that turned a local action into a global catastrophe.
And that forces every business to confront the need for redundancy.
The essential, non-negotiable need for it. For redundancy and proactive disaster planning across every single service they use.
You can't budget for perfect uptime.
You have to budget for external failure.
And we know, you know, from historical data, Cloudflare is usually pretty quick to fix these things.
2 to 4 hours, typically, for a major issue.
Right. But here's the final thought I want to leave you with.
Mm-hmm.
What stands out to you about the speed and the breadth of this failure?
The instant freezing of X and ChatGPT.
Exactly. When you compare that to the typical recovery time, it's just staggering. It shows how fast one bad configuration decision can take down huge parts of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage you to go and explore your own organization's technological dependencies today. If one single service went offline, what would stop working for you right now? Thanks for diving deep with us.